Forget about triple threat. Sandra Bernhardt is one of those rare performers who really can do it all. She got her start in the 1970s working the stand-up circuit, where she first debuted her signature brazen sense of humor. Now, Sandra Bernhardt is back on the road with a new show. And I spoke with her on the phone ahead of tonight's stop here in Atlanta. In Santa Monica Boulevard, coast to coast, you're traveling around the country trying to find the soul of America.
It's getting harder and harder. We're all attempting to do that on a daily basis now more than ever in hopes that we can all connect on some level. And I think performing, entertaining, lifting people up is right now the best way of doing it. And hopefully people will appreciate my point of view and my velvet hammer.
Well, what have you found so far in the way of the soul of America?
Well, I can say for certain the soul of America is flickering and alive. And I think that even when people get very stuck in their ways and are driven by fear and sometimes, you know, lack of knowledge and information, I think everybody gets up in the morning and wants the best for themselves and their families and some sort of, you know, relief from the quotidian and the normal and have an experience, you know, which is what I like to do in my show. I like to take people on sort of a fun ride through like lots of different ideas and places and times and memories and the present. And I weave it all in with, I think, fun, you know, good music and a pretty decent singing voice. So I just like to take people on a journey and get them out of their rut.
Well, speaking of your singing voice, a reviewer for the LA Times wrote that you have a voice that swoops from the bluesy basement to a top floor falsetto and a campy soulfulness that can compellingly reinterpret the Isley Brothers' That Lady or just go nuts with Lady Marmalade. That's no small praise. How much of your show is music?
Well, I would say like 30-40%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I often use music as a punctuation to a story, and just in the way you might be having a conversation with somebody and then a song comes on, and it's sort of, even if the song is not necessarily one you chose, it becomes sort of a little memory tick and a little placeholder, mm-hmm, to that experience.
Sandra, you've said that you love being funny, but telling jokes was never your strong suit. Talking with other comedians, I found that some see their role as more of a philosopher. How would you weigh in on that?
Well, I think I'm a social critic, and I think in some ways I like to be a shamanist. I think I've been ahead of the curve throughout my career and seen a little bit into the future of where we're heading culturally. And I like to just sort of be open and be a channel for people, and of course entertain them at the same time.
When you became famous in the 1970s working at places like the Comedy Story or on the Richard Pryor Show, mocking celebrities was a large part of your material. Less so recently. Why is that?
Well, because I think it's harder and harder, I think, with social media. And, you know, there's just so much focus day in and day out in the 24-hour news cycle on celebrity, and now our president was some sort of a reality celebrity. I think that there's less room to tear it apart and find the glamour in it. And when I started off, you know, getting to know people like Warren Beatty and, you know, the Hollywood set that was still sort of, you know, when I was a manicurist, I did Diane Cannon's nails and Victoria Principal. These were still people that were, there was a big separation between, you know, the mere mortals and the immortals, which, you know, were people in show business. So there was more fun to be had, and that just isn't what I draw upon anymore, because it just isn't the case.
Yeah, in the 70s, my God, it was so much different. We actually had to read and read hard copy or watch television
right.
to view celebrities.
Exactly. And there really weren't celebrity-driven shows until, I guess, E! Entertainment and all those shows, I think, kind of came into play in the 80s.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were gossip columnists in the 70s and the 80s. And you would read that. You'd read them, and they'd be like a scene at, you know, this restaurant or overheard at this party. I mean, so you only got little snippets, and I think it made life much more interesting and fun. And now it's like everybody thinks they can be a star, and it's just not the case.
Really, you know, now that you mention it, I'm thinking, People magazine may have started as an outgrowth of the People column in Time magazine.
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, it would be very easy to find out. All we have to do is Google it. But I don't think we're going to do that this morning. It's so much nicer to focus on a conversation.
Well, I appreciate that. And you have had such a varied career: writer, comic, actress, singer. You mentioned manicurist, slaughtering kosher chickens. Tell us about this new chapter in radio.
Well, I was approached by Andy Cohen, who's a friend of mine. He was starting up his own channel, Radio Andy, on Sirius XM almost 2 years ago. And he said, would you be sort of my, you know, linchpin person on the channel and do a show 5 days a week for an hour? And I was like, okay, I'll give it a whirl. And initially, I was, like, very nervous about it because I'm so used to writing material and curating material. And I soon discovered that you can go on radio and really be spontaneous and talk about just about anything and make it fun and interesting. And over the year and a half that I've been doing that and interviewing really great, compelling people, and sometimes, as you know, you get people that are not forthcoming and you have to do most of the work, but still, It sharpens another tool in your collection, and I think it's been a great experience for me, and it's kept me really in the pocket, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, obviously your audience is enjoying it too. You and your partner have a teenage daughter.
Well, she's a college student now, so she's, you know, even though she's still a teenager, she's gone to that next level.
Does being a parent inform your comedy?
To a certain extent, but not really. I mean, since I've had her, I've always done little bits of, along the way that are relevant to what's happening in her evolution. So that's been fun. But you know, I haven't become like, you know, one of those performers who only talks about their kid. I mean, that to me would just be deadly for myself and my audience. But she is a splash of color in all of my shows.
Oh, that's a great description. There are a lot of people in Atlanta very excited about your visit, and it has been so much fun talking with you, Sandra. I've admired your talent for decades now. Thank you.
Lois, you're a delight to speak with, and I hope you make it to my show at City Winery on March 10th at 8 p.m. I'm looking forward to coming back. Atlanta's always been a great, sophisticated city that I've enjoyed performing in, and always good to get back there, and thank you for a wonderful conversation.
Sandra Bernhardt performs tonight at City Winery. The doors open at 6, and the show begins at 8.